Amen and amen. Why don't you take your seats? And I've been looking forward to this for weeks and weeks. And we're just going to hear some testimonies. There's nothing better, you know, than hearing what God is doing in somebody else's life. Because you know what the nice thing is? Yes, maybe something good is happening in someone else's life, but guess what? We're in the same queue, you know. It might be for different things, but God is faithful. So let's just give a warm welcome to Sarah and little baby Terizo. Lalala, her husband, was supposed to have been here, but unfortunately he's had to work. But that's also a good thing, right? Is that good? Are you okay to hold the mic?
Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Before I go any further, thank you very much, Pastor Chris and Pastor Cindy, for this opportunity. So I'm just going to speak about a few things that God has been doing in our lives, in our family, even though Lala is not here, but I'm representing him as well. First off, we had, this was the highlight of our life since Tori's was born. We had her dedication as well, just like baby Emily today. So that was a very special moment for us. The Bible in the book of Psalms says, Psalms 127 says, children are a gift from God and they are a reward from him. And so we understood that we are stewards to this beautiful gift here. And in Proverbs, just as Pastor Chris has read today, 22 verse 6, that train your children in the right path, and when they are older, they will never depart from it. So we understood our responsibility as a parents to commit Teresa to God and to train her in the Word of God. So when Pastor Cindy and Pastor Chris approached us a few months back and asked us, when are you dedicating the baby? It was actually perfect timing because it was something that we were thinking about and that we have been praying to God about, and it couldn't have been better timing. So we still look on to that day even today because it was such a beautiful day for us. So we thank the church as well for standing with us to support and praying for Teresa on that day, as well as when you were committing to like support us as well. So thank you very much for that. Also, Teresa just turned one a few months ago. Before she turned one, there was a time when she got very sick. It was a first time that we saw her getting sick at all. She had bronchiolitis. We had to take her to the hospital because she was really unwell. And it was a very challenging and scary time for us. I remember even when we were at the hospital, Lala texted Pastor Chris and asked him to pray for us. And Pastor Chris did pray for us, responded to him with a prayer. That day that she was sick, the following day was a Monday. So we have prayer meetings every Monday at 8 o'clock. Teresa was prayed for on that Monday. And by God's miracle, only God could have done it, because when we came back from the hospital, we were told that they could not give her anything. We just had to wait it out because it's a viral infection. But by God's miracle, she was well that night. And the following day, she was a completely different child. She was completely different. She was healed. We couldn't believe it, because we knew from what we were told, the condition that she had, we had to go like 7 days, and we were told to experience. They still, the worst was still coming, but she was healed through the prayer of the church. Amen. And then lastly, there was a time when we had... Hallelujah, thank you. And lastly, there was a time when we had prayer and fasting for the vision of the church in April, I believe. It had been a long time since we had fasted in our family. It was a while, honestly, but we were excited and we were eager to join the fasting, and it was very successful. We completed it. What we realized exactly at the end of the fasting was God started doing a lot of, we started seeing God's hand in our lives after that. There was a project that we were doing at home for our parents that we had been struggling with that was taking us quite a long time. But we started seeing so much improvement, so much change. We started seeing a lot of progress. So we were helping them build a house. Since coming here, it was something that we were hoping to like help them achieve. But there was a lot of stagnance. But during that time, we saw God's hand, and they were able to complete the house in like 4 months, which is quite unheard of, because it was a very big house as well. So we thank God so much for doing that for us in our lives. And that's it from us, really. I'd like to encourage anyone who needs encouragement today that Jesus is still at the door waiting for you to knock, and he will answer every need that you have. Amen.
Amen.
That was awesome. Wasn't that fantastic? Wow, that was like, so any prayer needs, you know, hey, Chris and I, we're believing for our house. We'll receive that prayer. Can you pray and fast for us, please? Anybody else need a house? Sarah, we're going to give you a list. I just think it's amazing. That is a really good, fantastic mixture. Especially today with having another baby dedication. The little Teresa, she's just such a bundle of joy. First time she's let me hold her. So that in itself, that's another miracle. Praise God. So we're going to listen to another testimony now from Isabella. Come on, welcome Isabella. Do you want me to hold your hand?
Okay. Morning, everybody. I want to start by reading one verse from Philippians 4, verse 13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I just wrote down a few things. If I had to pinpoint everything, I would keep you here till next year this time. No. good morning to all. As you all know, I'm reading it out because I'm not a public speaker, so, yeah. Okay. As you all know me, my name is Isabella, that meaning devoted to God, or God is my oath. I was brought up in a Christian home in South Africa, where we started to know God from a very young age. We went to the Dutch Reformed Church, we did Sunday school, even gave Sunday school lessons when we were in high school. I did my confirmation in the church where we stayed in, and that church in Paul, and we were part of that congregation for more than 39 years. We were even the neighbors of the minister. In my final year at school, matric year, I gave my heart to Jesus, and that changed my life. I got more involved in activities in school and even in college. We had a thing at school, I don't know what you call it in English, but CSF. It's a Christian, student Christian, I was part of the leadership there. And it was quite magnificent to see how kids' life change when they accept God and God is their savior. I met Wayne late in life. We only got married when we were both 40. We joined the Life Church in Somerset West, Cape Town. Wayne used to be part of a big church in Gauteng. I think the Rima Church. You know the church. In Gauteng area. For me, this was a total new experience. Where I come from, a Dutch Reformed Church, which is different. Yeah. So we got involved in the cell groups there. We got involved in serving in the church, making tea and coffee for the morning services. We had to be at church at 6:30 in the morning to make coffee for the first service that starts at 8. First service was at 8 o'clock, 9:30 the next one, and the next one was at 11. So And then still at night there were services as well. And still the church is too small there. While we were still there, they built a new church. And the day that church doors opened, we realized the church is too small. And that's amazing. We loved our church and we decided to move to the UK. I remember we went to our pastor and he prayed with us for the right doors to open to make this happen. Since that prayer, God just opened all the doors. At some stage, we were absolutely shocked in how quickly and how easy the whole process happened. Our house was sold within 3 days. We organized the move. We moved. Wayne was here for 6 months before I could come. And this all happens during COVID. In my office in South Africa, I had a little bookmark against my wall of Psalm 23, God is my shepherd. That is my favorite psalm, as everything in that psalm has been a proof in my life. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He led me beside quiet waters and refreshed my soul. Most of you know that psalm. I mean, I started learning that in Afrikaans, my home language, since I was in primary school. So, especially this part, I will fear no evil. I arrived in the UK 4 years ago. 2 days ago? It was 4 years ago. I had to stay in quarantine for 11 days before I could go home. That was a horrible experience, to be locked up in a hotel room for 24 hours with no windows to open, and you were only allowed 20 minutes outside per day. But knowing me, I jippoed the system. At one stage, I met other South Africans, so we could share a lot. So you will phone security and say, I don't smoke, I've never smoked. I need a smoke break, and then they will come and fetch you and let you out. So, yeah, sorry, you had to lie to survive. So my record for one day was, there was a parking area at the hotel. My record was 19 kilometers walking in one day. That's all you could do. And then one day the one security said, I didn't see you smoking. I said, no, my chest is sore. I'm like, oh. Yeah, so you just keep a low profile. So as soon as I was back home and settled in, our challenges started. Wayne lost his brother, his stepmom, and his aunt within the period of 6 weeks. And because of COVID restrictions, he couldn't go back to South Africa. And also, he didn't say his goodbyes before we left. We went through a very bad time that time. Then we started looking for a church which we could join. Every Sunday morning, we would go to a different church. That was an eye-opener. I have to admit that was a very interesting journey. Then somebody told us about Family Church, as the pastors are from South Africa, and off we went to Portsmouth. Well, we then went to Family Church Portsmouth for a few Sundays, and then somebody told us, no, you're from Waterlooville. The pastors there are ex-South Africans. You have to go there. And the rest is history. As we settled into our life here in the UK, we decided to buy a house. 2 weeks before we could move in, Wayne lost his job. He worked for this company for more than 34 years. The first and only job he knew. That was one of our most difficult times in our life and what we faced. And we trusted God. And with the support of the church, standing with us in prayer, we got through that. After 9 months, Wayne found a job. It's not the same benefits, I would say, package, whatever you want to say, that he had, but it doesn't matter. He found a job. And like every Monday, that 8 o'clock meeting is very important if you believe in prayer. That changed our lives. We stood together. We only a handful. More people can join. Really, it's worth it. That 40 minutes changed our life. Every Monday, you don't have to pray. You can just listen and pray in your... Sometimes you don't have words to pray. You just listen and you agree with that. You can put your phone or your device on mute and listen and pray. That changed our lives. Then 2 years later, I just threw the towel in and quit my job without having another job. That was also a very, very challenging time. I prayed to God and I was looking for answers. Can I do it? Can I? And then one day I just couldn't anymore. And I think I was wrong there. I didn't wait for God's answer to my prayers to give me, to say to me, yes. I just thought I'll do it. I applied for jobs and I didn't get, went for interviews and some didn't even bother to answer. And then I went for an interview at Portsmouth Hospital, at QA Hospital. 2 days later, they phoned me and said, sorry, you didn't get the job, but one of my colleagues are looking for a PA. Are you interested? I said, yes. 10 minutes later, he phoned me and we had a coffee date the next day. By the third question, he said, I like you, would you work for me? And I said, yes. But there was only one thing. It's on a contract for 6 months. So the date came, I joined, it's been the best job I've ever done. I absolutely love the Hasbaz. And then my contract almost finished, they extended. Now they extended till October. Everybody's stressing, I'm not stressing because I know God's got another way for me. He will make it work. I've got my trust in Him and He will make it work. So after 8 months being in that job, things changed again. The trust had to move divisions around and I was moved to another job that I started 2 months ago. Now, but I'm happy there, and also that's all in God's way of sending me on the next mission. There's a reason for that. We don't always know what the reason is, but I can see during the day what the reason is, why I was placed in that specific spot. But now we are facing another big challenge in our lives as we have to sell our house. We know that trusting in God, He will send the right buyer at the right time, and He will make a way for us. We just keep going back to Hebrews 13, verse 5, which says, He has said, I will never leave nor forsake you. Time and time again, I see that our timing is not God's timing. We just need to stay in prayer and God will listen. And when the time is right, He will make it happen. As in Isaiah 43, verse 19, it said, God will make a way. Through all the challenges we are facing in life, we need to trust God and keep praying. I'm closing by saying the following. The Bible tells us that God will make a way where there seem to be no way. He will make a way for each and everyone in our situation. So keep on praying and trust in God. Amen.
That's brilliant. Wasn't it fantastic? Isn't it encouraging? It's so encouraging. This is real life. This is real life. It's not make-believe. And I loved every bit there, Isabella. We're going to pray about your lying habits, okay? I'm just kidding. Just kidding. No, I understand. So, but I loved that. You know, sometimes we can go through some storms, eh? And some trials, and you think, where is God? Where is God in this mess? There's a mess. Where is God? But like that scripture that Isabella quoted, God said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'll make a way in the desert. I'll make rivers in the desert, roadways in the wilderness. God will make a way. God will make a way. And we're agreeing with you, Isabella, for your house to sell. For that one, that's all you need is one buyer. Just one buyer. And you'll get the right buyer. And like South Africa, the house sold in 3 days. Okay, I can't extend my faith to that in this country, but your house will sell. But your house will sell at the right, like you say, at the right time. God's timing is perfect. So that was so encouraging. What a journey, hey? That's quite a journey that Isabella's been in. I'm sorry that you had to be locked up in quarantine. That was awful. That's terrible. We weren't quarantined. No. Oh. Hey? Weird. Anyway, but praise God. Hey, listen, we've got one more family that's going to come up and share together. Come, let's welcome Ashoma and Christine.
Good morning, church. Hi, everyone. My name is Christine, and this is my husband.
Ashoma.
Hi, so we just want to share about what God's been doing in our lives.
Okay, I was trying to get her to do all the talking, but that's fine. I'm not, as difficult as this is, there's a song, I'm not one of those who likes to start with a song, but I have to, the Nigerians here know the song, I'm sorry, but you will learn it now. The funny thing is, it's a Yoruba song. I don't speak Yoruba. It's a language, that's a language in Nigeria. But that song captures essentially everything. It says, I'm not singing the whole song, it's just that line. It says, you know that, Eshe ibite tibere, Eshe ibite, Adukbe o Jesu, ibite be mualo. See, I miss, but I know the sense of the song is, thank you where you've started. Thank you where you've gotten us. And we thank you, Jesus, where you're taking us. A lot of old songs, I notice, encapsulate that too. Oh Lord, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come. People always sang about what God had, what God did, where we are, and where God is taking us. And it's always important to remember. Recently, I was reading the book of Exodus, and I realized, again, why that book was written is it also points us to who we are as persons, because you would find that regardless of how powerful God shows up for you, if you don't think about it, if you don't remind yourself about it, if you don't ask God, what are you telling me about yourself with this, at the very next trial, you will forget.
Yeah.
So it happens over and over again, so that we, for the most part, we become people where it's only in hindsight we realize that, oh, God was there. But it's just better when you know that at the moment, God is here. And also, our journey has been that I'm the kind of person who would never take a risk. I don't even bet. Like, you can't meet me now and say, let's bet that your name is Oshoma. I won't bet because I don't know what you found out. So I won't do it, you know. So I just never would. So when we talked about moving, it felt like taking a bet because, interestingly, we had talked about it even before we got married because, you know, at the time I knew I liked her before she knew she liked me because, yeah, she was busy telling me you're like a brother to me. I'm like, no, I have 5 sisters. I don't need another one. I mean, why are you trying to be? Anyway, so I remember, you know, when things were looking serious and all of that, and she told me, look, you know, I have intentions to move to Britain at some point. How do you feel about that? And I think she also kind of knew that at the time, I wasn't sure how I felt about the UK because I didn't really, I had my feelings about the UK. But I'm like, hey, look, I'm trying to marry you, man. Whatever. You know, let's do this. So anyway, that started to become a reality. When you talk about moving, in the beginning, it's exciting. It's like, oh, we're going to another country, you know, new friends, new place, new infrastructure, just new stuff. But when it starts to become real, it becomes a problem, especially to my kind of mind. The kind of country I come from, the man is expected to provide. And you're brought up with that mentality. So we're talking about moving. She got a job. July, she got her job. This was 2023. I'm stable, you know. I was working in an airline. I was in charge of aviation. Of IT in the airline I was working in. Everybody knew who I was. We had branches around the country. If I showed up and people didn't even know and they heard my name, like, oh, you're Ashoma, you know. So, I mean, I'm the man, right? And I'm like, why would I want to just leave all of that and move to a whole place where nobody even, like, where do we begin? So at first, when it's 2 years to the time, you're hopeful, yeah, I'm going to get a job. But when it's 2 months to the time, 1 month to the time, and you write that resignation letter, I've never written a resignation letter if I didn't have a job waiting on the other side. I just won't do it. So here I am writing a resignation letter, and I'm not just quitting my job, I'm going to a whole other country, and, you know, that was scary. I would say those were probably the scariest moments of my life. It was very, very scary. It was scary to the point, a few days to traveling, I was actually visibly scared. People didn't know. I didn't tell her, because when we're talking, we had to talk, hopefully. But she knew I was concerned, but I was really that scared, very scared. But yeah, she came, started working, we came, met her. That's a whole story of its own, getting a house. You want to talk about that quickly?
Oh, yeah. So I had already gotten a house in my mind. I thought I had gotten a house before they came in. I had gone around
to furniture,
signed the papers and everything. And then when they were about to come, like 2 weeks to go, the landlady through the letting agent said that, they need to fix some things up in the house. The house is not going to be ready before they come. Can we extend it a bit? And I was really unhappy about that. And then 2 weeks came, and then she comes back and says, the flooring, there's an issue with the flooring. They couldn't get the flooring done. And I didn't know that that was like a way of saying, we don't want you to get the house. So I kept on saying, okay, let's just extend it. But it was really annoying because we had to stay in an Airbnb for like 3 weeks. Those were expenses we did not plan for.
It was supposed to be 4 days.
It was supposed to just be 4 days. So it was really upsetting. So it was very frustrating. We now had to start. In the end, the landlady eventually said, we can't give you the house. And then I had to start looking for a new house. We had to start praying. I cried. I was really hurt because I was like, this just fumbles all our plans and everything, because I wanted them to come into the country, be settled, you know, and all of that. So we had to get a new house. When we came to Waterlooville and I saw the place, I was like, okay, is this where we're coming to? You know, because I had all these grand plans and I didn't know that God had better plans. So that's one of the things I'm learning, is that even when we pray and we ask God, let your will be done, he has a perfect will for us. So he says, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. And we should keep remembering that even when we go through trials, even when we go through temptations, even when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, because there are times when we're going to go through situations and you wonder, is God real? Does God love me? Is God with me in this? But we should remember that his plans for us are plans of good and not of evil. And even though it looks like it's a trying time and it's a trying moment we're going through, he is with us and he loves us. So we got to Waterlooville and this place has been home, and it's so much home now that my husband doesn't want to move. He doesn't want to leave this place. He's like, nope, we're fine. And the people here, especially Family Church here, they're so loving. Like, I have a brother in Portsmouth. But like, when I say I have family in the UK, I mean Family Church. Because yes, I have my blood relations, but the family that has been here, like through the prayer meetings, whenever we have issues and we pray, like my younger sister gave birth recently and she had a terrible the pregnancy was very terrible. She bled, and we spoke to the pastors about that. They joined out their faith with us. We prayed, and thank God she gave birth. She had a fine, beautiful baby girl. And, you know, there's just that bond. Like, we're having issues at work and we pray about it. There's something about having a family, having people you can pray with, having people that your kids can pray with and can play with, you know, having that community. Because even at work, when we were coming in, they were like, it's good for you to have a community. And I'm like, have a community. Where is this community? But thank God for each and every one of you here. You know, sometimes I just come in and then somebody just smiles at you and you're having a rough day at work, and or you've been having a rough week, and then somebody just smiles or somebody just hugs you, and all those little things make big differences in our lives, and it's just been really wonderful.
Yeah, and so really our journey has really been one of trusting, because at every point, I mean, I'm coming from a country where, I mean, that's my country. There's really no law you can make that affects me because it's my country, right? And then we come to a place where you're constantly praying. You're constantly hoping that, I hope the tides don't turn against people like me, because you're aware that, yeah, we migrated here, so we're not originally from here. So you're constantly aware of the laws that are being made. You're constantly aware of what's being said. You're so self-conscious when you step into a place like, am I putting up a bad representation of myself and my people? You start work and you're like, I hope they don't think this about where I'm from, because that's always in the forefront of your mind. You're constantly on your toes. But through it all, you learn. What I like about that is that you really learn to just lean on God. The Bible says, two scriptures I want to share. I've always, Proverbs 4:18, the path of the just is as shining light that shines brighter and brighter. The beauty of that scripture, it doesn't say the path of the just is as a lighted path. It says the path of the just is light. It's not a road that has light. It is as light that shines. So God's intentions through his word always says much more than what we think it says, especially when we start to read it on our own. You start to realize that God is saying a lot more than anyone ever told you. Another scripture is where it says, the just shall live by faith. But when you read a different translation, it says, it is through faith that a righteous person has life. So when you put that, and you put that side by side with the book of John chapter 1, where it says that in him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness comprehends not. All that put together, it gives you hope. It makes you understand that I have this abundant life. Not to make life easier. It's not going to make life easier for me than it does for everyone. But one thing it does, it gives me certainty of how things will turn out. And that certainty that I said I always liked, you know, I just like things to be a certain way. It makes more sense when I put it from God's perspective and how he's walking with us. So yeah, it's supposed to be a short one. The house, God gave me a job. I searched for work. I was applying. I think I definitely put in over 1,000 applications. Let me not exaggerate. But I probably won't be exaggerating if I say 2,000, because I just kept applying to the point where even the job I got, I don't remember which of my applications that was. And when you're talking to a recruiter, you're not sure. You're like, hello, yeah, what job? Oh, yeah. So you're trying to think, when did I apply for this job, without sounding stupid, you know? So, but I thank God how all of that worked out. You know, great place to work. Everyone there is friendly. I'm like, why, you know, sometimes I'm like, why did these people even hire me? Because I, you know, at first I'm like, I don't think I'm even that good, you know, but.
He's good.
No.
Okay.
You don't know my colleagues.
All right.
Yeah, but I mean, so ultimately and again, well, as with most things, you have to do your part. At first, you even have to show up. Yeah, I was praying for a job. When my job came, first day of work, I didn't want to go because I was that scared. I'm like, why, you know? Fine, I know I wanted this job, so I went there in spite of me. And everything, I would also say everything has happened in spite of, you know, everything has happened in spite of our fears, in spite of our doubts, in spite of our own shortcomings. The house we live in, we love the area, the kids can go out and play. Kids just show up at the door knocking, hey, is Uriel coming out to play? He made friends. I was most scared for my son because he kind of reminds me of me when I was younger. I was always very scared of people and all of that, but he made friends. Moving was not that big. It didn't affect him the way I was afraid it might. And so everyone has been just awesome, and we just want to thank God. And also for church as well, because that's our first community we made. And once that was set, everything else just fell in line.
Yeah. And there's a verse I just want to share with you before we leave. Psalm 19, verse 7, it says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. So each time you have issues, each time you have problems, make sure you go back to God's word and find out what has God said about this situation. Because he has a word for you, for whatever you're facing. And he is there for you. He's there with you. You know, like Isabella said, it's like you have, God is just right there with you, like your invisible friend. So reach out to him like your invisible friend. Talk to him. He is our friend. He's our helper. He's the Holy Ghost. He's with us. He's for us. Praise God.
Praise God. Wow, I feel like we've had church, but like mega church. Hey, I could sit here for the rest of the afternoon. I'd love to invite more people up, but we haven't got time. We got to sing a song. We're going to do Trusting God. We're going to close with Trusting God. It's such a beautiful song. And I think there's been so much depth to all the stuff that's been shared here this afternoon, this morning. And I just want to encourage you, you know, during the afternoon, next week, just think about some of the stories that have been told, because these are real life stories. And it's the same God that has been active in Isabella's life and Ashoma and Christine and Sarah's life and Lala and everybody else's lives. It's the same God. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. Amen. He's a good, good God.